Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 300, part 1, Temper. Today is Friday, July 12th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Temper. Well, don't say, I don't have a temper. We all do have a temper, either good or bad. See, a bad temper is a good temper turned inside out, frazzled, like that chicken we saw yesterday at the fair. Looked like it had been pulled through a knothole backwards. We've been ministering on the fruit of the Spirit. So far, we've covered love, the main product, the tree, Jesus. And then we go on to the byproducts, joy. That's the fruit that's on the tree, love tree, Jesus. And then peace, which we ministered on Friday night. A grown up, quieted, if you will, joy. It's down on the inside. You don't have to walk around smiling like a Chessie cat. It's just down there, and it can come forth at any time. The next fruit of the Spirit is good temper. Patience, good temper, good fruit. King James calls it long suffering. Long-suffering, then, is love stretched out. How far will your love stretch? How far will you go with your children? How far will you go with people? Now, I've had just about enough out of you, and that's as far as I'm going to go. And I can hear my mother right now. I've reached my what? Limit. How many talk like that to their children? How many find themselves reaching their limit on their jobs? You on the radio, reaching your limit on your jobs, and you on the tape, Stop chewing those Frito-Lay potato chips and listen. How far will your love stretch? Is it so elastic and tough it doesn't break down into a bad temper? Did you have a temper breakdown this week? A temper tantrum? Well, what's that? What is a temper tantrum? I'm sure you all know what a temper tantrum is, right? Did you have one this week? How about you on the radio? Don't point at your husband or your wife or your kids. Did you have a breakdown in your temper this week? No, it keeps a good temper with all the anxious things that are happening all about us. And this does not mean we become indifferent and don't care what happens. We don't try to get out of suffering. You know, it's like trying to get out of work. Some people work harder trying to get out of work than actually doing the work. Do you know of anybody like that? Maybe it's yourself, I don't know. Do you know of anybody like that that's worked so hard trying to get out of work that they make more work for themselves? Have you ever known in your whole of your life anybody like that? Just raise your hand and say, oh, I have. I'll raise my hand. How about you out there? Have you ever known anyone like that? No, you cannot. We're not talking about sidestepping the issue. We're not talking about getting out of suffering. No, we're not talking about that at all. Kind of a boring person that always tries to get out of suffering. No, we Christians care. And because we care, we are willing to suffer. Now, here's something I have to add to that. It's not that you're really willing in your own flesh. Are you hearing this now? Let me have your full and undivided attention, you listening on the radio and to this tape. I hate to talk to people that aren't listening. What a waste of time. And besides, I don't want to lose my temper in front of all you people. Are you hearing this? We're talking about temper, good and bad. No, we develop good temper, long suffering. In the middle of suffering. And you're the gainer for it. You take the full dip for it, not a half gainer. I'm talking about a full gainer. Plus, suffering brings tension. We're not free of tension. Is there anyone in here free of all tension? Well, then you got to be dead. My, doesn't he look peaceful? Did you ever notice when you die how much people love you? Oh, he was a good guy, you know. Look how natural he looks. Don't ever say that over my casket, please. Go ahead and laugh. Crack your face. You're listening on the radio. See, when you have a good laugh, what happens after you have a good laugh? You have the fruit joy. You have that fruit joy, and then you have peace. You're all upset, and then the kid does something that's so crazy, and then you just start to laugh, and you're, oh, I just give up. That kid's impossible. And you have peace. I think that's the trouble with a lot of legalistic Christians, is they don't have peace because they don't have any joy. And they're so busy walking around with their dark black suits on, or their hair done back in a bun so their eyes are pulled back to their ears, jumped in a flower barrel Christianity, and they have no joy, so they're just sort of walking around in sort of a daze. And they don't have that peace because they don't have that joy. Show me a person that can't have joy, and I'll show you a person that has no peace. None. Now, you can spend $45 for a half hour and go to a Sykes couch for this, but I'm going to give it to you for nothing unless you feel it's worth it. Then you can put $45 in a collection plate after the ministry. Cost you a little bit because we're going to go for 3 or 4 hours. Lock all the doors and windows. You're staying in here for group therapy. Suffering, I said, brings tension. Don's guitar, when he plays his guitar, it has to have tension. And without that tension, it's songless. When you performed at the fair, if you went up there with no tension, just sort of walked up there and sort of wanged on your guitar a little bit, and Sue would get over there and sort of get up like this morning and sort of let her fingers fall on the piano, it would have been songless. And it's the same way in your lives. If you don't have some kind of tension going on, there's something wrong with you. You're probably on drugs. Totally relaxed. The Bible calls such a person a sluggard. Slothful. Sluggard. Now, it'll be about 1:30 while you're listening to this. You roll over in bed. Now, I know you won't turn me off when this goes on here, because you're too lazy to do that. There's no tension in your life. Jesus, the Bible points out, had tensions. He said in the original, "What tension I suffer till it is all over." And not only that, he was willing, and we're talking Luke 12 and 50 Moffat translation. And I like that because of the wordage. What tension I suffer till it is all over. Until the thing is all over, you got to have a drive. Jill, when you're making a sale, you don't stop right in the middle of it and leave the people in the house and just lose all your tension. Well, if you're going to buy it, you're going to buy it. Huh? No, you stay with it. When you go, Chuck, to sell a computer, you stay with it. When you're trying to show your people what to do, you don't tell them, well, go so far with the people and then just drop them. No, you carry the ball all the way through. Preachers, are you hearing this? Now, maybe you think it's easy being down here on the north side in a ghetto-type ministry. No, there's a lot of tension involved. But without that tension, I'm nothing. Without that tension, I am songless. I don't want to be like a high steeple, few people sit down in your rump, never do nothing church. I want to have some kind of tension in my life, and that's the problem. Christians don't want to have tension. They just want to come to church, sit down and relax, and for the most part, a lot of them just go to sleep. Totally can start snoring right during a message. It won't happen here. I got a fire hose, and I'm going to wire each seat. I will give you tension. You'll never know when you're going to get the shock. Yahoo! But isn't that what Christianity needs? Jesus, I said, had tension. What tension I suffer till it is all over. But you see, his tension wasn't fastened to fear. His tension wasn't fastened. Now, you hearing this? You're listening on the radio. Don't get into a private Bible study right in the middle of this thing. I'll give you the tape. I'll send you the tape after. Now, listen to this. His tension wasn't fastened to fear and anxiety and doubt. No. Or inner conflicts and self-interest. See, if your tension is introverted, if you're worried about yourself, worried about what you look like, worried about how you're coming off to people, that's one thing I've had to sidestep. A lot of times I just don't come off right to people. Well, so what? There's a certain amount of people you're going to appeal to, preacher, if you're listening, and there's a certain amount of people you're not going to appeal to. But Lord's sakes, let's have a little tension in what we're doing. Are you hearing this message today? Have enough tension to sit up and say yes. Sit on the edge of your seats. You that are listening on the radio, to sit ahead and say, I got tension. What good would you be flying a plane if you had no tension? Did you notice how much tension I had when I was flying your airplane? Oh, man. Talk about overkill. I was talking about overfly. So there is a temper, but there is a good temper. There is a tension, but there is a good tension. Not fastened to self-interest. Are you hearing it? His tension and his life was connected to redemption. He was cross-minded. He knew that in the end, he had to face his Jerusalem. He knew that he had to go to the cross and die that you might be made free. Calvary, in other words, minded. And was under tension until he said, "It is finished. I am headed for Resurrection City." Hallelujah. It is finished. And folks, today, if you can say that, you listening here, you on the radio, this tape, if you can say it is finished with your life of having an ornery tension, a tension that's introverted, a tension that causes conflict, not only within yourself, when that happens, it causes conflict all along. There's an atmosphere, an aura, if you will, of tension on people all around you. You do not radiate fruit of the Spirit. You do not radiate peace. And without that tension, that good, God-minded tension, you can't radiate anything. You are dead. And so Jesus didn't get frustrated and bad-tempered. His tension, let's say, gave him a song of forgiveness for his enemies. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Why is that? You don't need them. I said Friday night one time, I was telling about all the things that had happened to me in the 1 week from people. I said, I don't believe it. I said, wow, man, you sure got a lot of enemies. I said, no, that's my friends I was talking about. Are your friends always friendly? Are they? Are you always friendly to your friends? Let's put it that way. Is your tension always a good tension? Is you suffering for someone else, or is it suffering for yourself? But anyway, many fall cold fish because of tension. They don't want to have tension in their lives. Say, man, I can't stand the strain, and I don't want to get into that, and I don't want to be involved. I was talking to Chuck here yesterday. I kind of appreciated what he had to say. He said, well, you know, he says, I can see there's things going on down here. What he really, really said was, I can see there's some tension in this church. Some kind of life. Dead people aren't going to come here, Chuck. Jill, Ann. It's not a place for the dead. It is a place for the living. What's that song, I Got a Lot of Living to Do? Well, anyway, they let their tension drive them nuts, some people. Job tensions? Are you letting your job tension drive you nuts? Oh, I don't know about these people. I don't know about this person. Do you allow that to happen to yourself sometimes? Huh? How many allow that to happen to them sometimes? Huh? Well, I'll put my hand up, throw both legs out. Hey, I ain't got nothing to hide. Do you allow that? I think we all do sometimes. Business tensions. Family tensions. And so when your tension is driving you nuts, the driver is the devil. Always look up and ask the driver of that tension bus to turn around. And when he turns around, who's driving you? Ask him to take off his hat. and you will see a set of horns. The one driving you to Nutsville is the devil. Are you hearing this? You know, it's funny, but people whose tension is harnessed to fear and anxiety and self-interest all seem to ride the same old bus. And the bus driver's name, by the way, is I Am Driving You Nuts. See, they hate to be alone because misery loves company and they'll always get on the same bus. Now, I suppose you go out for lunch with people. Isn't that right, Chuck? When you go out in the afternoon, you have to take people out for lunch and so on like that. And maybe you take out some of your sales personnel and you take out some other people and you're going to try to train them in. Do the people you take out to train in sometimes say the wrong things? Do they drive you nuts sometimes? Don't allow that. Allow them to make mistakes. Overlook it, don't say a thing about it until you get alone. Then lay it on them. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a kind of a tension happening. There's a tension in everyone's lives. Isn't that right? Do you have some kind of, when you got ready this morning, do you have some kind of tension? Oh, where's my purse? I got to get my hair fixed just right, and I got to get my earrings on. And does this go, how does this look? Does this go with this? As you can see, I don't pay a lot of detail to my dress. I wonder if I got socks on. Oh, yes. What you need a lot of times, I'm saying right now, you listening on the radio, is a good laugh to break that devil's tension, to break it up, to get off that tension bus. To get off that bus that's filled with miserable, self-seeking, self-interested people. To say, who needs this type of tension? A tension of living has left them frustrated. That kind of tension. And they use their moods to manipulate other people's moods. Have you ever been around with a manipulator? And they have a mood, and they want you to fall into their mood. So today they're mad. Okay. Morning, hon. No, good morning. Have a good day yesterday? Nothing. You know what that is? That's eggshell time. You start walking on eggshells. Some coffee? You back off. Sort of like dancing or sword fighting. Now, maybe this is convicting a lot of people. I don't know. Some people hate these kind of messages because they get right down to the nitty-gritty. But we all got faults, don't we? Is that a fact that we have faults? How many of you have some kind of a fault? We have them, don't we? No? Okay. We all have faults. We do, though, don't we? Of course. Coffee? Nothing. Is there something I can say to you that will please you? Nothing. Eggshell time. Be very careful because this person is having a mood tantrum. Maybe you have a 17-year-old boy or a 34-year-old boy that will not leave the house. And you have to walk around on eggshells because Mr. Go to the University Forever is going to be there forever. Right? And so you have to walk around on eggshells because Tommy Too Smart for Mom is there. Ooh, am I hitting it? Woo, come on, I'm hitting it. The Spirit's moving here today and I am hitting it. You listening on the radio, I am, by the Spirit, I am hitting where it hits home, and that's where it needs to hit. Amen. I'm talking about that kind of tension. How you react, Mom, during that type of thing is going to show where you're at in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you'll have to give a word of truth. I'm not saying just get totally nasty. But maybe you'll have to say, When do we get, we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us. So we say, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I mean, after all, it's only 4:30 in the afternoon, and Junior's walking up and down with his old tattered coat he's been wearing for 34 years. And he's at his last thing he can take in college, basket weaving. We have to give him a word. Son, when are we going to finish school? See, you're paying all of the bills. Pooh, hit it home. Come on, you're on the radio right now. I know you're out there. I know that you're frustrated. But don't let that turn you into yourself. Loose yourself. Move out if you have to. Say, here's the home, here's the key to the car, here's everything. Go to college forever, son. Bye-bye. I mean, if you can't deal with that thing without murder, leave. And don't think you haven't thought about it. This boy would be better off. Oh, he would be better off if he was just gone, or Lord, if you just take him, he'd be better off. He's so miserable. And everyone around him with this type of miserable tension that he has, it's causing tension. Don't ride on that bus. And so they try to get you into their mood. And Junior is in a mood. And so he wants you to fit right into his mood. Don't fit in. Start tap dance. Da ta 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 ha. Irritate him right out of the house. And so they become complainers. And not only do they take up your livelihood, but they also, now they complain. Why don't you get some kind of groceries in this icebox? What is this all we got here? I mean, hey. Nothing is right. They're ready to scream at a moment's notice. And like I said, it's eggshell time. You have to live in a literal hell while this person goes through their mood switches. And you never know when they're going to switch. All of a sudden, there's all of a sudden. Ooh. Ooh. All of a sudden, they do a mood switch on you. And you never know when it's going to happen. You can be happy and having a good time and everything is fine, and all of a sudden the face starts to drop and they get that lion, I'm going to eat you look. Huh? Too much truth? Well, the truth will set you free. Yeah, that's the only thing that will set you free. They are ready, I said, to scream at a moment's note. Their attention is not harnessed to redemption, especially not yours. But their tension, I said, is restricted and introverted and self-claiming, and it's hanging on to a fear. That boy or that person or that mate has fear. Fear of going out and making a living. Fear of not being able to make it with people. Oh, how we fear people. How we fear people's opinions. What's that got to do with serving Jesus? People always got something to say anyway, don't they, for the most part? Mostly it's nasty anyway. Don't worry about something good coming your way. Say amen. That's the way we are. We're sinners saved by grace. Are you any better? Am I any better? No. And so I said, it's not harnessed to redemption, but to fear and anxiety and self-interest. But then again, in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us about love, doesn't it? Love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered, but is patient, and so on and so on. You read it. Yes, Jesus had tension, a driving force, because his tensions were God's intentions. These things I do, I don't do of myself, but I do them because of God, because of the Father. I don't do them on my own. And so he was calm. And so he was cool among the strain. I have sat in on some pretty influential meetings, different places in Minneapolis and St. Paul and other parts of the country. And you notice when you go into the room how much tension there is. Oh, you walk in. Everybody is groomed. I mean, they shellacked their hair. If you bumped into them, you break their hair. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the men. I don't have to worry about that. I just give it the old Chattanooga shoeshine shine, you know what I mean? Whap, 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 whap. But the tension, you could almost cut it with a knife. Well, I know what I have to do because the tension I have is a good tension. I walk in there and my fingers are alive and my body is alive because there's tension in that room, but I have a tension and I know one way to satisfy that tension. Start to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sent to preach the gospel and that's what I'm going to preach. And sometimes it doesn't come off right. All right, Pastor, what do you have to say about this miserable mess out here and the health problem? Well, I say, I'm a gospel preacher, so I'm going to give you gospel. What? Well, sir, you sell gas. What are you going to give me? You're a surgeon. What are you going to do for me? Oh, you're going to operate. Huh? Well, I'm a gospel preacher. What did you expect me to give you when I came here? Did you hear that, preacher? Out there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, or wherever you're at? Poughkeepsie, New York, Chicago. Yeah, he had a driving force because his tensions were God intentions, and so he was calm and he was cool. His strain didn't cause him to drain. You ever been drained when you go home at night because of the terrible tensions of the day and you just, oh man, you just fall out and you take off your shoes and you, Oh, what a day, huh? You didn't enjoy it. You should enjoy your tensions. Woo, what a day that was. 917 people came through the line. What a day. Elisha, getting ready for a marriage, said, I enjoyed it. See, tensions can be recuperative. They can recoup you. We were made to achieve, folks. And there can be no creative achievement without tension. What good is a football game without tension? Huh? They get down. You better believe they're tense and they look like, you know, some kind of animal looking at each other, huh? There has got to be tension to be creative. When you sit down and you write a song, don't you get vibes? Then all of a sudden the words come? A lot of times people accuse me of writing songs because I know a lot of songs, but I sing the wrong words to them. And they're so old, nobody knows them. Thanks. Now, we can have peaceful tension. In your home, you can have a peaceful tension. When that daughter or that son or that mate or them people in that church or whatever, pastor, if you're listening, in that church, you have tension. You're on guard, but you have a peaceful tension. You're on watch, but you have a peaceful watch. Well, someone called me and they said, how about Jesus at the synagogue? He looked around them in anger. And he said unto the Pharisees, this person said he did. Woe unto you. And this guy yelled over the phone, putting it blew my ear off. Well, he says, wasn't that a bad temper? No, I said, it says being grieved. For the hardness of hearts, he was grieved. That anger came from grief. He was grieved. Grieve that they were so insensitive to human need. When that person you know that you love, that daughter, that son, that maid, that person, that pastor, when they are insensitive to the needs of people, it grieves me. Well, isn't that a type of anger? Yeah, there is an anger. It is called godly anger. And you have to be very careful, of course, because there's a very thin line there. But you get grieved in your spirit. You get grieved in your spirit for that boy, and you're just going, God, what's going to happen with this kid? What if I wasn't here? What would he ever do? And you get grieved in your spirit, and so you get angered. Maybe you take a cord up your, take down the sash and start cording it up. Maybe you'll have to beat the kid out of the house. Because you're grieved. Grieved because he is so insensitive to the needs of people. Grieved because that person cannot see that people have need. Grieved at the body of Christ because they can't see that there are needs out in this world other than themselves and going to high praise meetings. Oh, you praise me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. Oh, what empty praises those are when we go to continual and always going to these praise meetings and doing nothing. Where were you when I was sick? Well, I was praising you. Where were you when I was in prison? Well, I was at a praise meeting. Where were you when I was in prison and a widow? I was at a praise meeting. We will praise you, Lord. Smiling at each other, 10,000 Christians all over in Uganda someplace, huh? Why do you have to fly 10,000 miles to go to a meeting? Why don't you have a meeting with Jesus right there in your heart? Why spend all that money? There's people starving all over. You got to go running off to Israel every other year. $5,417.16 is what it cost. The basics. Whew. Are you hearing this message? That grieves me. Does it make you angry? No, I am grieved. And so his anger was grief because of the insensitivity of people. See, it wasn't personal. And so this changed it from destruction to construction. You can be constructive with people when you're grieved in your spirit. You say, my God, son. My God. Sit right down on the edge of that. I know I'm ministering to somebody. Sit down on the edge of that man's bed and say, son. Well, I'm just going to talk to you now. Just sit there. I don't want you to get all mad. Catch them before they get up and they start to look like a lion, okay? Sit on them. Say, son, I got something to talk over with you. We got to move on in our lives. Something has got to happen. Now, either there's going to come a parting of the ways, or we're going to be able to help each other. Which one is it? And then don't say anymore. Just walk out of there and leave. Let the door click. Go out the front door and let that, have your clothes on, and let that click. You have to be very detailed because people just follow step by step and they don't think, oh, you told me to go outside. Oh, I have my pajamas on. What kind of teaching was that? See, people want everything A, B, C right down the line. You got to just dress them even. Why is it that I have to be so careful about what I say? Of course I'm not, but why should I even have to be? Take me the way I am. I take you the way you are. So it changed it from destruction to construction because he was grieved and he was concerned about the person in point. Like we become grieved with our loved ones when they are insensitive, I said. Now, yesterday the police at the fair, someone had some kind of trouble. And they were taking this man off of the ride. And he was trying to explain, and these people didn't have the experience. I mean, they had their hats pulled. And they were just police that they put on force. These weren't the Minneapolis police. I mean, their hats were pulling their ears down. They didn't fit the bill, okay? And they were trying to get this guy with billy clubs and wrap him up and everything. And this guy was pretty near tossing him all over the place. I think he was trying to explain. And you know, I was really grieved. I was grieved for two things. One, that they did not know how to handle this situation. And two, that this guy would not stop struggling. I thought, man, stop. These guys are going to kill you. The guy was purple in the face. I mean, he couldn't get his air. They had this billy club around his neck. And I thought, hey, Well, I felt anger coming in myself. But then I thought, no, that's not right. You got to be grieved for the policeman, and you got to be grieved for the other person. Whew. Isn't the world a mess? God, think about it. Aren't you grieved? Aren't you grieved about the people in Africa? Aren't you grieved about the people that in our country right now are going to bed? And so many people down here in our area have no mattresses. I know where I can get a hold of thousands of them. I have no warehouse. Is somebody listening got a warehouse I can put them in? And don't give me a warehouse. I have to pay the insurance and the heat and keep your building nice for you until you rent it out. People do that, you know. That happened to me once over in St. Paul. Are you out there? I mean, I'm grieved that there's not space to put stuff. I could have all kinds of household items, but I don't have the space. And there's all kinds of buildings sitting around. I'm grieved at the insurance companies that every time there's a little theft, they got to raise everything 25%. Shame on you. Doesn't that grieve you? See, self-interest cannot be the motivator. And so Jesus' words, hot as they were, uncovered, let's say, the very stinking depths of a self-seeking, dark, uncaring, sour world. Sour religion. The wet blanket cloud. You ever been around a crowd that's a wet blanket? They throw a wet blanket on everything you do. Guy told me, he says, I don't know how to tell you this. I really appreciate what's going on. I mean, it's great and everything, but I when a guy does that, I know he's trying to think of something to say. You know, when they mince words. Teach a man the same old thing. Teach a man to fish rather than fry a fish up for him, and you'll never go hungry. Yeah, I said, well, go tell your kids that, okay? And they want something to eat, say, go fishing. Buy your own line, find your own hooks, buy your own license, get your own car to go out there, get your own boat to go out there, and catch some polluted fish. Go ahead. You hearing this? Does that make sense? No. If your brother is hungry, hallelujah, the Bible says, feed him. I can tell you there's a lot of food around. They dump it in pits all over. Are you hearing this? Garbage! And now they're thinking, well, you know, if we dump trailer loads of cabbages and all of these gassy foods and everything, we can get natural gas. But who has to pay for that gas? People that got money. What good is it to be warm when you're starved to death? Yeah, I hope people are listening to this, the wet blanket crowd, the phonies, the Pharisees of the 1987s. Those that lay the burdens on others but won't lift one finger to help. And so he had to do this. He had to reveal it. Because as he revealed, you see, God by lifting the veil. He also then lifted the veil from men's hearts. Oh, when the veil is lifted from what's really in our heart, isn't that a nasty old thing? Isn't it? What's in your heart throughout the whole day? A lot of things that we cannot reveal to one another. See, the light always reveals the darkness. You know what? It also shuts the mouth of darkness. You know how? By eliminating it. You turn the light on, there's no more darkness. And when the light is revealed in our heart, what's really in our heart, and all of the motivating forces that are in our heart, why we really are doing things, we say, oh, put a hot coal on my lips, I've been found out. And isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious? That the light reveals the darkness, and all you have to say is, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. I didn't really know I was that nasty. Now, in your walk, you'll get so you think, man, I have reached pinnacle number 99. I am just about home. And then all of a sudden, something will come up that you got in your heart, and you'll find out you really weren't there at all. You skipped a lot of phases, and you go right back to kindergarten, and you get up to get out of the desk, and you'll have to walk out of there with the desk on because you're so big. Have you found yourself to be a baby? See, when you really find out is when you have to live with somebody, and you have to be in a family, then you find each other out, right? Isn't that right, when you have to be in a family? That's why God has family, so we can take it out on each other. Can sort of contain the murder and the disease and so on like that. Just contain it, see, so it doesn't affect everybody. We act much differently in our homes than we do sitting in church, right? Don't get wiped out by that. I mean, we all do. Huh? We act. You ever see people in their cars and you can see them in their. And as soon as they loose that handle and they get out. That's how mean they get, right? Isn't it right? When we get into these cars, we get just to get ourselves so mean and we talk and we gossip. And then, well, what did you think of the meeting? No, oh, I don't know. I just thought it was, oh, it's okay, but. Are you hearing this? Hey, radio audience, are you hearing this? Amen. I got a guy that writes me all the time. I never wrote him back. I feel like writing him back. I said, why? I'm going to ask him, why do you listen to me? I mean, you dislike me so much, you got to write up the sides of the page? Why? Because there's a lot of truth. Now, sometimes it's hard to take the truth, but the truth will set you free. Listen to it. Whoo! Talking about tension today. Talking about revealing today. See, they would never see God's, the Pharisees of that day, until they saw themselves.
That was episode 300, part 1, Temper. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
A beautiful day.